The High Court is looking at how the internet is taxed. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Tomorrow, the Supreme Court will hear arguments in a dispute between the state of South Dakota and the online retailer Wayfair Incorporated. At issue is whether states can force online retailers to collect sales tax. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra is here. What is the case about?
So if you've ever bought something online, maybe you noticed that you didn't pay sales tax. That's because of a Supreme Court ruling from 1992. It said states can only require online retailers to collect sales tax if the business has a physical presence in that particular state. Now, that was at a time when online retailer was much smaller. Now about 9% of total sales are made online, and that means a lot of lost tax dollars for state and local governments, up to $13 billion a year, according to a recent federal estimate. So this Supreme Court case might overturn that precedent from 1992.
Right. So potentially a biggie. But how did South Dakota get involved?
That goes back to 2016. The state passed a law that said online sellers of a certain size had to collect sales tax regardless of where they were located. Then when they didn't, the state sued them and eventually brought the case to the Supreme Court. South Dakota has the support of the Trump administration and the National Retail Federation because big brick and mortar retailers do have to collect sales tax. So they say this precedent gives online sellers an unfair advantage. Supporting the other side are some e-commerce companies like eBay and Etsy. By the way, I should say that if you do buy something online, even if the retailer doesn't collect sales tax, you generally still have to pay it when you do your taxes. I mean, that's hard for states to enforce, which is how we ended up here.
All right, Marielle, thank you. Now, tax day was not Sunday because it was Sunday. It's not today because it's Emancipation Day in D.C., which leaves tomorrow, the 17th, as the tax deadline. Time to finish the 2017 personal taxes and to plan for 2018. Now, a new survey finds small business owners are especially confused. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The new tax law lowers business tax rates and offers new deductions and depreciation. But Todd McCracken at the National Small Business Association says many business owners are actually
pretty confused whether they'll get a tax cut or not.
The IRS still hasn't explained how some small businesses will qualify for their new deductions. And about one in three small business owners surveyed don't think the tax law will benefit them financially, when in fact, says McCracken, most should see their taxes go down. Jim Hauser owns Hawthorne Auto Clinic with 12 employees in Portland, Oregon. He hasn't figured out yet if he'll save on his 2018 taxes.
To me, the bigger issue for small business is how can our customers have enough increase in income that they have the confidence to come to my store to buy a set of tires.
Until the IRS finalizes all the tax rules for 2018, many small business owners will be counting on their customers to boost the bottom line. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Checking the numbers, the 100-share index in London is down 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are each down in the 0.6% range. Objective, trustworthy journalism matters. We hear from listeners like you every day that Marketplace helps you understand the financial forces that affect our lives so that you can make better decisions. Now, this is your chance to be part of our efforts to raise economic intelligence across the country. When you support Marketplace today, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. As a nonprofit news organization, we're counting on your help so that we can continue to grow and keep getting better. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount is right for you. You do it by going to marketplace.org. President Trump's infrastructure czar quit the other week, and if the administration's big initiative to fix crumbling roads, bridges, airports, water mains, and power lines really ever launches in earnest, the phrase public-private partnership will be a cornerstone. Now, if you're vague on these, we have a teachable moment now from Central Florida. There's a $2.3 billion project with the state and private companies overhauling Interstate 4 near Orlando. Marketplace's Renata Sago went over there.
On any given day, cars zip on and off the ramps connecting Interstate 4 to Lee Road. For many drivers, it's the way into Winter Park, a bedroom community near Orlando known for historic homes, good shopping, and easily accessible pancakes. Jerry Everett helps run the Denny's there.
The fact that we're located next to I-4, it creates a lot of business, creates a lot of traffic. We're getting people from all over.
But less than a mile away, also a short drive from the highway, the town of Eatonville sees less action. It's one of the nation's first incorporated black municipalities, established in 1887. Mayor Eddie Cole calls the quiet town of 2,200 residents an African-American Mayberry.
I love the cluster of Eatonville being just a small community.
How you doing?
At its height, Eatonville was a booming hub for black business in the segregated South. But a chunk of the town was bulldozed to make way for Interstate 4 in the 1950s, hitting the town hard. Eatonville draws thousands of visitors for a festival honoring writer Zora Neale Hurston, but the pace otherwise is slow. That's why news of an interstate makeover in 2011 gave town residents and officials hope. The state and its partner, a private firm called I-4 Mobility Partners, would be sharing $2.3 billion in costs to renovate the interstate. Mayor Cole remembers thinking that maybe Eatonville would get an interchange that could attract visitors and boost the town's struggling economy.
When we didn't get a ramp, at first I was like, man, that ain't right.
The state turned down the proposal. And the private firms only responsible for construction and maintenance. Lorene Bobo with the Florida Department of Transportation says Eatonville's better off without an interchange.
They would not have the property, as much property as they do today, if we put an interchange in there as well.
The private partner will instead place signs at nearby interchanges to direct visitors to the Eatonville Historic District. In Eatonville, I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
And it's a little like noticing that quaint Ben & Jerry's ice cream is owned by the megacorp Unilever, or that those nice artisanal blue bottle coffee places are really the intergalactic Nestle SA. There's news that Goldman Sachs, not a mom-and-pop operation, is buying a nice little personal finance app called Clarity. Goldman is already into retail digital. It runs an online retail bank called Marcus. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.